to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And all that was in the synagogue heard the gracious words of this son they thought was a son of Joseph. And they said, hey, we know his father and mother. Where do you get all of this? And that's when Jesus, by the anointing, began to tell them. There were many prophets. There were many widows in the days of Elijah the prophet. But unto none was he sent save a woman of Sarepta. Why? That anointed word, according to Hebrews 4:1, it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't accept it with faith. They accepted it like the word of a man instead of the word of God, which it really is. He said, in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel, but didn't none of them get healed. Only, or saving, Naaman the Syrian. And they rose up with indignation and cast him out of their city and to the brow of the hill to cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way and escaped. Why did he escape? For his time was yet not come. God would blind them. Somehow they couldn't even see him. He'd weave his way through the multitude and disappear. He'd be gone. And the scripture gave us the reason. Mine hour has not yet come. The Lord's got a purpose in our life, and he's going to take care of us. We must be careful lest God closes our eyes when we hear the anointed word, or we avoid hearing the anointed word. Ezekiel 12:1-2, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, and ears to hear, and they hear not. For they are a rebellious house. In Isaiah 29:9, the prophet speaks of that blindness that comes upon people that will not listen to the word of God. They don't have those ears to hear. He said, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They're drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but it's not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. And your rulers and your seers hath he covered. And the book has become of a book that's sealed, that men cannot read it anymore. That's talking about the Bible. They give it to one that's learning. He says, I can't read it. It's closed. They give it to one unlearned and said, I can't read it because I don't understand it. And that's just the way it is today among the people of God. They've got leaders that God has closed their eyes. Why? Because they don't have ears that wants to hear the word of God. They could hear it, but they close their eyes and ears. And the Lord explained that very carefully for our understanding in John 12:40. He said he blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see and hear and be converted, lest I should heal them. The Lord didn't want them. Because they wouldn't hear the word of God, he wasn't going to heal them or convert them. But because they rejected the word, then he blinded their eyes and he hardened their hearts so they couldn't see nor hear nor understand. And they went on their own ways and God rejected them. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, in the Laodicean church, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said to that church, he said, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing. Boy, that's a blind condition. Yet where I don't need to hear the word of God, I don't need to hear the anointed teaching of God's word. I don't need to take advantage of my opportunities. They're not necessarily God-given. But you're wrong, they are. He said, but you knowest not that you're miserable and wretched and poor and blind and naked. Lukewarmness brings blindness because you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and you don't want to hear the anointed preaching of God's word, nor the anointed teacher. Because when anointed teacher teaches, there's not only counsel is not only exhortation, but there's rebuke and correction and instruction in righteousness, so the man of God can be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the will of God, is perfection. And you're not going to get it without the anointed teaching of God's man that's in the middle of you. The anointing abides in you. And you don't need that some man teach you, but the anointing in that man will teach you all things. And God has put a teacher in the middle of you so you can abide in Christ. And now, little children, the next verse said, 28 in 1 John 2, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Many Christians are going to be shamefaced because they've lost their reward by being careless and carelessless. Carelessly they've lived, carelessly in the opportunity they've had. God has put you in this ministry as helpers. And helpers are wonderful. Yesterday I was praying. I looked out the window when I was praying, because I walk around a lot here in the sanctuary. It's my favorite way to pray. I get down here and kneel, but I stay out here long enough, I don't want to stay on my knees all the time. And I was walking around, I looked out the front door, and I saw Brother Greg painting the mailbox and putting the letters on it. I saw Brother Jack come by with a little tractor, hauling some trash or debris off. And I saw two or three others pass as they were involved into helping. And it just brought tears to my eyes, and I said, thank you, Lord, for these helpers. I thank you for them. I love them. I love all you folks. You're helpers. Some of you helps more than others. Some of you helps more in one way than others, than you help in other ways. Some's a kind of a, well, they're versatile. They just about good for anything. Anything you need done. Brother Jeff, you can use him about anything. I ain't seen hardly anything you need done he can't do. And he's just as willing as he can be. Others are, they're willing workers another way. They're willing for somebody else to do it if they can get out of it. Somebody's like that. Well, you're going to get your reward. We're going to get the job done. It may not be you do it, but God knows who did it and who didn't. He keeps the records. And but I thank the Lord for all of you. But I want you to know this. You need to constantly, don't just depend on Sunday morning service or Wednesday night teaching or something like that. You need to be constantly listening to these messages that are anointed of the Holy Ghost and are recorded on cassette tapes. That's what they're back there for. If you had a cassette recorder and you listen to one a day, you ought to do it. You ought to be just like one a day brand vitamins. Praise God, one a day to hear those tape recorded messages. You'd be worth a lot more. It'd make you pray more. It'd make your spirit better. It'd make your faith stronger. It'd make the mind of Christ in you more perfected, that we'd be in one mind and one accord in looking at everything alike. It'd bring us into the unity of the faith that God is striving to bring us into. Our weaknesses are that we're not listening to these anointed messages on cassettes or reading the magazine messages like we ought to be reading them. I wrote them. I preached them. But when I go back a few months and listen or read, it don't even sound like I had anything to do with it, except like the donkey that rebuked Balaam. Just my voice was in it. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's the anointing that teacheth us all things. And you need not that any man teach you. If I teach you, it can be full of baloney. But if it's God speaking through me, then it's the Holy Ghost anointing that causes you to abide in Christ to perfection. Paul made that great statement in Philippians 2, verse 12. He said, therefore, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but not now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.